60 minutes on ice. The Flames at 5 is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, home of the Calgary Flames and the NHL.
Flames at 5 brought to you by Pete the Plumber, the superhero plumbing, heating, and electrical. Call him 403-257-1766 or visit PeteThePlumber.com for all your plumbing and heating needs. A little later on, Chris Johnston from Sportsnet will join us. He's in Toronto getting set for the World Cup of Hockey, Team Europe and Team Canada tonight. Also, the National Hockey League announcing a number of initiatives to celebrate their centennial year coming up in 2017, starting on January 1st. But right now, we go inside hockey, brought to you by Calgary Co-op. Check your blood pressure after the game. Visit Co-op pharmacies to receive free health and wellness advice. Had a chance to spend some time today with Ryan Huska, the head coach of the Stockton Heat, and a lot to talk about. He's the man responsible for molding the young players that are going to come to the Calgary Flames in the next couple of years, and quite honestly, there's a number of them, including goaltender John Gillies, Mark Jankowski spent some time there, Emile Poirier, Morgan Klimchuk, Oliver Shillington, who, by the way, quickly becoming my favorite player. We'll get into that conversation as well with Ryan. And also, he's got a new, not a new boss, but somebody above him in Glenn Gullitson. So there's some requirements because Calgary wants the same kind of systems, the same kind of gameplay in Stockton that they have here in Calgary to help ease the transition. So I spent some time and caught up with the head coach of the Stockton Heat earlier today, Ryan Huska.
Ryan, so much of our conversation is about the players adapting to a new head coach at the NHL level, but you also have to somewhat adapt to the American League if you want to do the same kind of things. How's that relationship coming?
Really good. I look at it as kind of a win-win for me and my staff, I guess you can say. We get an opportunity now to learn from new guys that have new ideas, new philosophies in regards to how the game's being played. And there's a lot of experience now on Glenn's staff, whether it be Dave or Paulie or Marty still, but they were able to play while we were here. And I think for us now it's just a matter of really remembering and continuing to push Glenn's message with our guys once we get them back into Glenn's Falls. So when they are called upon, they're in a position where they're going to succeed. And really, at the end of the day, that's what we want for them.
Do you, I hate to ask it, it's such a basic question, but do you go back to Stockton with a whole bunch of binders now with his, you know, with his system and his kind of his philosophy?
Yeah, but that's, it used to be binders, I guess. Now it's computer files.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And video. Yeah. So yeah, it's great. And that's the beauty part of it is the sharing part. There's no questions about if there's something that we're looking for that they have, they're very forthcoming with all of their information, and that's the great part. And I think at the end of the day, it makes all of us better coaches as well when you get to share some information on what may work, what doesn't work, what drills are great, what drills aren't great.
Yeah.
All that stuff is really good for everybody involved.
What about just personally for you? I mean, good coaches are thieves, right?
Mm-hmm.
You steal a little bit from here and
yeah.
there. Now seeing some new guys, Dave Cameron mm-hmm. and Gerard and Glenn, have you been able to kind of just pick up a few things along the way?
I steal a lot, everything that I can. If there's something that works well, the way someone presents to a team, the way they prepare teams, from their video sessions to the length of their meetings, I take it all in. And I think if you can improve yourself some way or the other, if you like what someone does better than what you do, then you have to look at changing. And I think that's what makes this whole thing great. As I said, there's a lot of experience now in that dressing room and different ideas that you can use to make yourself better.
How much turnover are you anticipating in Stockton this year? We know there was a lot of players that
yeah.
didn't have their contracts, not a lot of kids turning junior. How much change do you feel you're going to have?
I think there's going to be quite a bit of change. I think the people that are going to be more familiar with us are our younger guys that we had last year, like Klimchuk and mm-hmm. Carroll and Smith, first-year guys. A lot of the guys that weren't qualified this year were guys that we had for 2 years. So you're going to have quite a bit of turnover. We have new faces for our older leadership group that we're going to have there, and we have a young crop of younger guys coming up as well. So I think there's going to be a lot of new faces, but for me, I'm looking at it as a positive thing. You have an opportunity with a new group there to bring in some fresh ideas from here, and I think that's a way where we can help bring our guys along and get them set for opportunities when they may arise for call-ups up to here.
Organizationally, it affects you, such a change in goaltending. I know you had your goalie Gillies last year, but he got hurt, so you're really
yeah.
going to get him for the first time. How important is it to kind of get the goaltending straightened away and taken care of early on?
Huge. I think last year we got up to 12 guys at one point. I know 12 didn't play, but we had 12 different goaltenders that we used last year in our lineup, and there's situations where you can't control, and we were in one of those last year, unfortunately. whatever happens with the guys up here, you know, with John and David and Mason, I feel like we're pretty much set in our goaltending category. And I think they're guys that are going to push each other along the way. And that's really what you need to have. And I think with John being healthy, I think he probably looks at this as a total fresh start for him as well. He can put all that stuff behind him from the last couple of years of hip pain, to now being able to focus on making himself better. And we've seen in practice here from all reports last night, he was terrific in Edmonton. So that's what our expectation is going to be of him, that he learns how to be consistent with his performance, and he's a guy that wins us games more often than not.
You've had a chance to kind of test drive some of your newer players. What do you make of the group you're going to take to camp?
To me, it's an interesting one. We have a young back end right now. There should be a lot of energy on our back end. A lot of our returning guys that we're sort of anticipating having are still young. Up front is where I think our new leadership group, the more you have a chance to be around them, like the Frattons, the Angelitas players, Jamie Devan, those guys, they're going to bring some new energy to our group. And I think by the way they play, is going to be infectious with our group. I know Mike Angelitas plays the game hard. He plays the game the old-fashioned way, and if his teammates aren't playing along with him, then he's going to do a great job of holding the dressing room accountable. So different things like that we're looking forward to, where we have a few new voices, a few new faces around our room, and I think that's going to help pull us along.
Ryan, I know you're heading into your third year in the American Hockey League. You've had to deal with some interesting situations involving veterans, but tell me about a guy like Matt Fratton or Angelitas, guys that are coming off of two-way contracts, now moving to American Hockey League deals. Are you worried about them? Do you have to talk to them ahead of camp? And
no. I think for both of them, there's still a strong belief that they can be NHL players. And sometime taking an American Hockey League deal is an opportunity to prove yourself over again. So there might not have been the interest that they had hoped. But now the situation that they're in, they have to look at it as a motivating factor, where they have to make sure they're great every time they step on the ice. That's a plus for us because of the leadership that they're going to bring and the accountability that we'll have in our room. But as I said, both those guys are going to come and play hard because they want to get themselves back to NHL contracts. That's obvious. And when you talk to both of them, they would tell you that as well. So they're going to come and they're going to play very hard, and not paying attention to what type of contract they're on, with the end result hopefully being another NHL deal.
In conversation with Ryan Huska, the head coach of the Stockton Heat, our guest here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, I want to ask you about a couple individuals. I can't watch enough of Oliver Shillington. There's something that is so different about the way he plays, and I understand that he still needs to find structure in his game, but what did he do this summer? What are you seeing from him in this camp?
Well, he's in shape. There was no question about his conditioning last year, but I feel like he's in better shape now than what he was, and that's partly maturity and playing with professionals. He's kind of the player, you know, if you look at the North American team in the past World Cup, they were always on the go. They were fast, a little bit reckless at times, and that's Oliver's MO. And I think the important part for him as he moves forward is not to lose that side of him, but to really learn how to handle situations the right way so he continues to put his teammates in good positions. Because he is a kind of a special player, where he has that ability to make plays out of our own zone, but he can get up the ice in a hurry to help us with the offensive game. And if he gets in trouble, he can be the first guy back. And I think that's one of the great things about Oliver. And I really do see him taking another step this year, because he is a passionate kid that really wants to get himself to this level.
But a lot of this now falls upon you, doesn't it, Ryan, in the sense that you have to have that deft touch of not losing that, but he's got to start to play in structure too.
Yeah, and I think sometimes a little bit language barrier. He really understands. He speaks well. But sometimes when we try to work with him about making better decisions in certain situations, he's a little confused at it, because the next breath we tell him not to play safe. So we have to spend some time with him, making sure he understands what we're really meaning in regards to making good decisions with pucks at the critical times of games, but really get him to understand that we want him to be very active. We want him to, you know, use his offensive abilities to his advantage. So that's kind of the fine line that we have to walk with him. If you're going to play in the NHL, you have to make sure you're reliable, and you can't be overly high risk, and that's one thing we're going to continue to work with him on.
A couple of first round picks I want to ask you about, both Poirier and Klimchuk. Boy, at times that first round label can act as a little bit of an anchor. How have you seen both of those guys in this camp?
Well, practices, I liked both of them. I didn't have the opportunity to see Emil last night, but you know, I thought Morgan's game was okay last night. You know, you really pull for those guys. I do anyways, that we want to see them have success, and Morgan does everything the right way as a young man. that's really pushing to play the game. This is what he wants to do with his life, and he really does everything he can to make this a reality. So when he steps on the ice, you want to see him have success. And sometimes I think for him, he can just, if he took a step back and, you know, wasn't so focused on being so tight or doing the right things all the time, then I think maybe he'd be able to relax a little bit on the ice and maybe he'd take some games over. But I'm a fan of both those guys, and I'm hopeful that Emil, throughout this camp, gets his feet underneath him again, he gets the pace going that he can play with, and he finds a way to gain some traction as it moves towards the beginning of the regular season.
I could go through the list, but I'm curious, is there any of your guys at this camp that have popped a little bit for you, that have maybe opened your eyes a bit?
Well, I'll go back to Mark Jankowski, and I'll say he's our guy because we had him at the end of the year,
sure.
But I've been impressed with him. I think he shows, to me, he looks at times like an NHL player with his size. There's still strength issues that he's going to have to deal with, but he can make plays. He makes plays in practice. He's responsible in his own zone, and he has the ability up the ice as well. So he's one guy that I've been impressed with off the top of my head.
Ryan, one thing that will happen, we know, is somebody is going to stay right till the end, and then you're going to get them. Those conversations, how do you build a player back up after the disappointment of hanging around a camp so long?
Yeah, I think, you're there for him. That's number one. But two, you don't let them boo-hoo or whoa, it's me, because if they do that, they're going to put themselves behind the eight ball. And I think that's our job, is to not necessarily kick them in the pants, but make sure that they understand that the start with us is going to be critical in their efforts to get back to the NHL. And that's a hard thing, because guys, they spend all their time working to get here. If it doesn't happen for them, or they're one of the last cuts, it's disheartening, and it's hard for guys to get themselves going. But the biggest thing they can do in those situations is make sure they're prepared to play and make sure they're one of the better guys on the ice every time, because that way you show everybody up here that, okay, maybe we made a mistake on this guy, and then you give yourself that opportunity to get back here sooner than later.
Do you sell it all? I think it's reality that more guys make their NHL debuts during a season than they do out of a training camp. Like, I've always believed that. Is that you know, a quiver in your, or an arrow in your quiver?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it is hard to make an NHL roster out of camp. Knock on wood, you don't want injuries to happen, but that's one way where certain guys like Brett Kulak did last year. But you don't often see it, because there's some more experience that typically starts the year, and then players have to, over the first 10, 15, 20 games in the American League, prove their worth, I guess, show that they're down there for a reason, and that's to get themselves better and to get back up here. And I think that's why you do see more of those call-ups mid-season, or when the injuries do take place during the year.
Ryan Huska, the head coach of the Stockton Heat, he's getting a look at a lot of the players that will come to his camp. And a lot of the players that, quite honestly, he's got to get ready for the next level. And we talked about a couple of them, Emile Poirier, Morgan Klimchuk as well, Oliver Shillington, John Gillies. A lot of top prospects, I would suggest. A lot of the future of the Calgary Flames will be in Stockton again this year. That's Inside Hockey, brought to you by Calgary Co-op. Brought to you by the pump that pays. Members earn refunds simply by filling up at Co-op, Calgary Co-op, who presents our Inside Hockey feature. Coming up next, it is Chris Johnston from Sportsnet. We will talk to him about the World Cup of Hockey final tonight, Canada and Team Europe, also the National Hockey League unveiling its slate of events for its centennial, which will begin in January. Later on in the hour, Hunter Shinkaruk, Flames forward, and then we will turn it over to Pat Steinberger, who has Flames warm-up as Calgary gets set to take on the Winnipeg Jets in the Manitoba Capital. That's all coming up. It's Flames at 5 from Pete the Plumber, the superhero, residential plumbing and heating. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Let's talk hockey. 60 minutes on ice. The Flames at 5 is only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, home of the Calgary Flames and the NHL.
It is Flames at 5 for Pete the Plumber, the superhero, residential plumbing and heating, top of the hour, and it is Flames warm-up as the Calgary Flames preseason continues with a matchup against the Winnipeg Jets. But right now we go down the South Street Burger guest hotline, and we're joined by our friend, our pal, our buddy, Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, who, this must feel a little bit like your cool down after a marathon. You've just done Facebook Live with Merrick and Wyshynski, and now you're on with me. Boy, that's what we like to call a change-up in the old business.
Yes, sir. Rob, I can get my heart rate down again back on your program.
Yes, you can. We'll get to the World Cup final, which is obviously big news and coming up tonight. But today also big news as the NHL rolling out its centennial plans for January and beyond. And maybe the biggest part of this is the further reconciliation between Wayne Gretzky and the NHL. That's positive, I would suggest.
Very much so. And, you know, what a delight even just to have Wayne on stage today and telling stories and you know, kind of weighing in on you know, issues of history and the past. I mean, the sort of thing, frankly, that we haven't seen enough of, at least in an NHL setting. And, you know, I think it's very nice that he's accepted a position as the ambassador for the centennial season, which will run from January 2017 until December 2017, and that he'll be a lot more public at that. These types of things. I think in a year like the one we've had where we've lost Gordie Howe and some other NHL legends, that it just kind of reminds you even more that, you know, some of these sort of titans of the game, you should have them around and have them part of things, you know, while they're still here.
Well, and I'm glad you went down that path because, Chris, I'm one of those that, you know, while I appreciate where the league has come and where it's going, I do sometimes find that it's sanitized itself a little bit from its history. You know, the removal of, you know, the division names, the old Adams division and Norris division. While those guys may not have been the best people at times, they are part of the history of this league. Do you get a sense that the league is shifting a little bit and willing to embrace more of its history?
Yeah, I do. And I think that this centennial is going to be, you know, pretty interesting. They kind of gave us a tease of some of what they have planned for that year today at the press conference. But, you know, I got the sense that there's a lot more still to come. And, you know, that could be part of it. I know one thing certainly that's been much discussed in the hockey operations is even changing the award names to reflect a little bit more of the current history. Maybe that will surface again. But, you know, when you get to a year like this, and I know it's something that the league has spent at least the last 4 years, you know, really focusing on, it does give you a chance to take stock of where you're at and where you've been and maybe, you know, find some of these ways to better honor your history. And I think, you know, all of that kind of combined to get Wayne Gretzky back kind of in an official role with the league. And, you know, I would suggest to you that I don't think they'll stop there.
I part of what intrigues me about Gretzky is that they are going to unveil the top 100 players in NHL history, which I am excited about. I love lists like that. We live in a different world. I mean, I think everybody gets angry rather than debates these things, but I am certainly interested to see who makes up the top 100.
Well, and what remains to be seen, I'm not sure that they're going to be unveiled in a 100 to number one kind of format, that maybe it'll just be the top 100 players or, you know, another thing was suggested to me is they might split them into the, you know, the players from the first 50 years of the league and the last 50. Yeah, okay. But you're right. It's a lot to chew on. And I don't entirely know what that's going to look like, but, you know, basically, you know, come the All-Star game in Los Angeles, the All-Star weekend in late January, there, you know, any living members from that group are going to take part in that. There's going to be some sort of centennial gala to discuss it and talk about it. And, you know, I'm with you. I think it gives us all pretty good fodder to debate and discuss. And, you know, it's not an easy list to pull together. At least, you know, we'd all have the same top 20, but, you know, once you get deeper in that, I think there's a lot sort of wide variance and you know, what some people would feel should be on that kind of list.
Well, I had to chuckle a little bit because, you know, somebody asked Wayne Gretzky for, I believe, just his top six, and he gave them, and the Internet got angry. I find that hard to believe.
The Internet was born angry. But, yeah, I actually thought that was good of Wayne. You know what I mean? Someone just said, what's your all-time NHL All-Star team? And, you know, without giving it much serious thought, he rhymed off his list, and he honored a couple of his heroes and a couple of the guys he played with in Edmonton by going with Bobby Orr, Paul Coffey, Jean Béliveau, Gordie Howe, and Mark Messier, and then Grant Fuhr and Nett, which I think was the one that I saw most people sort of panning. But, I mean, if you ask him for his opinion, he gave it to you at least.
I agree. In conversation, Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, our NHL insider, joining us. One of the other parts of this day, again, back with my pal Gary Bettman, and I do like him, but it's weird sometimes, and Gary had one of those weird moments talking about the World Cup. In one hand, he chided everybody for not understanding and jumping on board as early as last year. He said it was going to be terrific and the hybrid teams would be terrific. And then he said, but we don't know if we're going to do it again. What is, as you understand it today, Chris, where are we at for future World Cups?
We're less clear now than we've ever been, I think, with the international calendar in general, but certainly with the World Cup. Today was the first day I heard Gary suggest that they'll have to decide if the next World Cup is in 3 years, 4 years, or 5 years, which, you know, I never heard that sort of possibility of the variance. I mean, there's still talk about doing a Ryder Cup type of format, which hasn't been specifically decided upon 2 years from now. And then obviously the Olympics is, you know, not necessarily directly tied to these things, but is part of the wider conversation. And that issue is far from clear. So I do believe there's going to be another World Cup, but there's a lot of possibilities for what it looks like, where it's held and when it's held. And then, you know, that's a bit of a surprise. I must say, I thought that, you know, sort of the point of bringing it back now, and you know, they'd already announced that they're going to do a second one with the NHLPA, that they would want to set a schedule and kind of stick to it to make it, you know, I think have a bit more continuity and you know, have it become a more regular fixture. The fact that, you know, it's even in doubt whether we'll have one in 2019, 2020, or 2021, it doesn't bode well. And, you know, there's still time to work these things out. But I was a bit surprised, I'm with you, that you know, here we are kind of in the closing days of this one. You know, an event that's made money and is, you know, I think been a pretty good initial foray back into this thing, and that the future of it is still so up in the air.
You raise the Olympics, and I think it's almost on a biweekly basis we talk about this, but I woke up this morning reading an article quoting Rennie Fassell from the IIHF saying that he's a little more optimistic, puts it at 50-50, and then I read comments from Bill Daly saying it probably hasn't looked this dark. Do you care to read the tea leaves on that particular topic?
Well, I think I can explain where the divide comes in, and, you know, really where the NHL and NHLPA have left it is that Rennie Fassell, in his role, you know, he has a strong tie to the IOC, has been the one dealing directly with the International Olympic Committee. And then, you know, obviously the main issue, which we've touched on, is getting the $10 or $11 million in place to cover the anticipated travel and insurance costs that you know, have always been covered in the past but are not currently on the table. And, you know, when I hear Rennie say that he's feeling a little more optimistic, I'm reading into that he's maybe a little bit closer, feels a little more confident he might be able to rustle up that money. You know, from the NHL standpoint, the biggest concern here is they have to make a schedule for 2017-18. And, you know, by November, certainly December at the latest, I think that they really want to have an idea whether they'll be going to the Olympics, because obviously that has a significant impact on what the schedule looks like. And because they're still sitting here at this time and have no update on you know, whether this is going to happen, you know, the longer it goes on, they're feeling less hopeful. So I don't think that either Bill Daly or Rennie Fassell are being disingenuous with those comments. It's just that they're kind of involved at different stages right now. And I think the biggest issue is they're not all together talking about this. And, you know, time really is of the essence.
Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, our guest here on Flames at 5 for Pete DePlummer, the superhero residential plumbing and heating. On our sister station, 660 News tonight, we'll have game one of Team Europe and Team Canada. I want this to be competitive. I think it could be competitive, but in my heart of hearts, Chris, I don't think it's going to be. How do you break down this matchup between these two sides?
Yeah, I'm in much the same camp as you. I would like it to be not one-sided, but, you know, Canada's just been so good. And, you know, we saw the game that they played against Europe in the preliminary stages of this event, and it was, you know, rather one-sided. And, you know, I don't envision really that being different here. I mean, I think some people have overlooked in general maybe, you know, what Team Europe's been. They've actually become a pretty coherent team. They have, obviously, Anze Kopitar as their top centerman and Roman Josi as their top defenseman. And any team that has that, whether it's in the NHL or in this type of competition, it is poised to have some success, especially with the way they play. But you know, Canada's just been the class of international hockey the last little while. And you know, I don't see them taking them lightly. I don't see them straying from their game plan. And as a result, I don't really see too many scenarios where they lose even one of these games, let alone two out of three.
A couple of guys that I want to ask you about with Team Europe who don't have NHL deals are defensemen, and Dennis Seidenberg and Christian Ehrhoff. Have you heard anything? Is there any rumblings of these guys getting NHL work once this tournament's over?
Dennis Seidenberg, I'm reasonably confident, is going to land somewhere this year. He's been involved actually throughout this event, talking to some teams. I think he's even, because of some injury issues he's had, you know, kind of submitted to some physicals. Just, you know, teams, you know, curious about his status. And, you know, the feeling around him is that he's not even going to have to take a PTO, that, you know, he'll likely get a one-year deal. somewhere. I don't yet know where it is. I do think there's a few teams. Ottawa has definitely been one of them that have shown interest in Dennis. But you know, I do think that you're going to see him back in the NHL this year. Christian Eroff is a bit more of a wild card for me. And then, you know, if he is willing to take a tryout, certainly he's going to have options available to him. But teams right now of those two guys, that Seidenberg is generating the most interest from other teams.
The other storyline is, and we talked to Rob Blake yesterday, who's the assistant general manager in L.A., but the injury to Marian Gaborik, that is, in many ways, is it not, Chris, kind of the worry that the GMs and the league and everybody has about a tournament like this? That's a significant blow for the L.A. Kings and Marian Gaborik to lose him for 6 to 8 weeks.
And it must be doubly so because, you know, I thought he played very well here. And you know, Marian Gaborik has been in the league a long, long time. But, you know, I think that his stock is kind of floundered a little bit. Yet, you know, he didn't have a great season last year, but you know, he was really one of the main players on Team Europe that led to their success. So, you know, Dean Lombardi, who probably, you know, given his role with Team USA, hasn't probably enjoyed watching much of the World Cup in general, but anything he was seeing from Marian Gaborik must have given him some hope. Just that he was already at such a high level early in the year, and then now to miss the next 2 months. I mean, that's a nightmare scenario for the player and for the team. And I mean, we all knew that these risks were there. With having these type of games at this level in September, but you don't like hearing about injuries like that because, you know, that's going to really impact the season, obviously. And, you know, it could have happened in training camp or a preseason game, but, you know, when it's somewhere like this where the LA Kings have loaned them, I think it's a little bit extra difficult for teams to kind of put their minds around.
All right, one last one for you on this visit, and it's a bit of a personal question because there's the old adage that you never want to cover the briar in your own hometown. What's it like having all of this in your backyard for the last couple of weeks?
It's been awesome. It's actually been really cool to see, you know, the city get excited about hockey again. And you know, yeah. If we're being honest, there hasn't been a lot of reason for excitement in Toronto around, you know, the rink at the Air Canada Centre in a long time. And you know, to have the world's media around and so many great players and, you know, really good crowds at the games for the most part, I think, you know, it's been kind of a shot in the arm. And, you know, it has me excited for the season in general. And, you know, I think a lot of people, probably the more optimistic fans, I guess, around looking forward to the days when the Maple Leafs might generate this kind of excitement because, you know, it's a good hockey city, Toronto, and there's been a lot of dark days in the last 10 years.
Great stuff. Thanks, Chris. We'll talk on Thursday.
Sounds good. Thank you, Rob.
Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, our NHL insider, joining us down the South Street Burger guest hotline. South Street Burger, satisfy your craving for a flame grill burger with fresh-cut fries. Visit their new location, now open East Hill, 17th Avenue Southeast and Stony Trail. Coming up, top of the hour, a little Flames warm-up for you as the Calgary Flames get set to take on the Winnipeg Jets in Winnipeg. Pat Steinberg will convene that, and along with Derek Wills and Peter Labardius. Also, over on our sister station, 660 News, at 6 o'clock, game one of the best of three between Team Canada and Team Europe. We'll take a break, come back with more here on Flames at 5 for Pete DePlummer, the superhero residential plumbing and heating. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960, telling Calgary sports story on the air and online. Sportsnet.ca/960. Let's talk hockey. 60 minutes on ice. The Flames at 5 is only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, home of the Calgary Flames and the NHL.
It is Flames at 5 for Pete DePlummer, the superhero of residential plumbing and heating. The Calgary Flames will play their third preseason game tonight as they get set to take on the Winnipeg Jets in the Manitoba Capital. Later on Friday, it'll be the Vancouver Canucks in town, and these same Winnipeg Jets will be back in Calgary on Sunday. Hunter Shinkarak was acquired by the Calgary Flames last season for Marcus Granlund. He came over from the Vancouver Canucks. He played a couple of games for the Calgary Flames down this stretch. Certainly wants to be here. The local product has made that quite clear and now really wants to earn a spot on this team. Pat Steinberg spent some time with Hunter earlier today.
I just thought on how things have been so far in the first few days of training camp. You got a game under your belt now. Just kind of your impressions of the first few days of camp.
Yeah, it's been good so far. You know, I feel pretty good. You know, the game last night, I thought we created some chances, played pretty well, and, you know, for the most part, I feel pretty good.
The difference is this year, you get traded mid-season last year. Now you're coming to your first full camp with this team. Has the comfort level set in yet? Do you feel like you're there yet, or is it still coming?
Yeah, it's a lot better. you know, when I got traded, I didn't really know too many of the guys or anything. But, you know, this summer of training with all of them, getting to know them, yeah, I feel a little bit more comfortable just in and around the room and on the ice. So it's, you know, been good to get the summer under my belt and come back, you know, knowing the guys a little bit more.
Tell me about getting traded mid-season and kind of the adjustment and how that actually does wreak havoc with a player. Because it can't be easy.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. I got called at about 6 p.m. that I got traded to Calgary, and I had to leave Utica at 8 a.m. the next day. So it doesn't give you very much time. You know, you're pretty... there's a lot of things that go on during that time, but you know, obviously for me it was an exciting time. I'm happy to be in Calgary.
What are the hardest things about getting traded in season from an actual playing perspective?
You know, just getting used to new line mates, new systems. You know, for me going to Stockton, where we didn't really play in the West at all, and then coming up here, you know, there's a lot of different adjustments. You kind of don't really feel like, you know, you have everything settled, you know, since I got traded. So, you know, obviously for me it was really exciting, though. You know, I was happy to get an opportunity here, and, you know, it was a great day.
You know, you go from playing in, you know, this team last year for a little bit under Bob Hartley, and now you come in under a new head coach in Glenn Gulletson, but you didn't necessarily have the benefit of playing for Hartley for as many years as a lot of other guys did, and I think there's adjustment there. Has there been much adjustment for you going from the way Bob wanted this team to play to now the way Glenn does?
Coming from Vancouver, knowing Glenn and Paulie, you know, our assistant coach, you know, a lot of the drills are the same, and you know, some of the systems, so I feel pretty comfortable. You know, I kind of know what these guys are talking about a little bit more, you know, from my years in Vancouver. So you know, it's been nice for me, not so much adjustment. I just kind of go out there and play my game.
So with Paul and Glenn, drills are kind of similar, practices run similar ways as to what you were used to in Utica?
Yeah, it's fairly similar. There's a lot of the same drills, so you know, it's nice. I kind of hear the name of the drill and I know what we're doing, so that's always nice.
How much of an instant comfort level is there coming into a camp when you know there's some familiarity with the coaching staff and you know, you've played for these guys before?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. You know, obviously knowing them a little bit more from Vancouver, it's nice. You know, they know me as a player and as a kid, so but, you know, obviously I got traded away from Vancouver, so it's also, you know, coming in and playing my game and, you know, just sticking to my game. That's really all I'm thinking about.
If you were to describe the way that Glenn wants this team to play and the way that you've played for him before, how would you describe what he wants done?
You know, it's fast. You know, really compete hard. You know, play strong in all zones, but, you know, keep the pace up and compete. That's basically the main things. You know, he wants us to use our skill, and in times that we can use our skill. So, you know, it's a fun game to play, and, you know, hopefully we can continue to improve.
You've played so far through camp a lot with Stajan, a lot with Chiasson. Tell me about playing with those two guys. You created some opportunities last night.
Yeah, they're great players. You know, obviously they've played in the NHL for quite a while, and you know, for me, a young guy, it's nice to be able to learn from them, you know, pick up the things that they do. So, you know, it's a great opportunity to play with NHL guys. And, you know, hopefully we can, you know, just keep contributing and, you know, keep making plays.
Final thought. You come to this camp, you see that there are opportunities on this big team, on the wing. Just give me your thought as to kind of your motivation and your feel about being a full-time NHLer on this team and the type of opportunity that you see existing here.
Yeah, I mean, this is where I want to be. You know, I feel like I had a good year in the A last year. You know, with making the All-Star team and doing things like that, I felt like, you know, I kind of paved my way as one of the better players in that league. And, you know, for me now, coming off, I thought, you know, a good last eight games with Calgary. You know, I thought I showed that I can play in this league. And, you know, obviously that's all done, and it's up to me to come in and keep making plays. You know, trying to get on the score sheet every night and, you know, stay here because I feel like I'm ready.
Flame forward prospect Hunter Shinkaruk, who won't be playing in Winnipeg tonight but is hoping to get back in the lineup played last night against Edmonton here in Calgary, continuing to look for a spot on the opening day roster. Want to take this opportunity to thank all of our guests, not only on Flames at 5 for Pete DePlummer, including Ryan Huska, the head coach of the Stockton Heat, but Chris Johnston from Sportsnet. Shai Davidi joined us earlier today, as did Derek Wills. Speaking of Mr. Wills, he, along with his partner Peter Labardius, and Pat Steinberger coming up next. Calgary taking on the Winnipeg Jets. We'll have warm-up for you on this station. Then coming up at 6 o'clock on our sister station, 660 News, it is the World Cup of Hockey as Team Canada plays host to Europe in Game 1 of that best-of-three final. We're back with you tomorrow live from Rhodes Sport Auto Credit here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.